Veronica Dela Cruz.
I'm Alan Martin. This is your Picks Now update.
A pricey PR move that's hitting a sour note.
The people are questioning why Concord police had to spend $34,000 on a video for the lip sync challenge. You look at me and girl, you take me to another place. So how does the department justify that price tag? KPI X5's Susie Steimel went to the police looking for some answers. Susie?
Well, Alan and Veronica, people are divided on this video. A lot of people really like it, but as you would imagine, a lot of people are saying $34,000 for this lip sync video is excessive. But the department stands by it. You look at me and girl, you take me to another place. You got me needed,
baby girl. Got me feeling like I'm flying, like I'm out in space. It's the latest video featuring lip syncing sergeants. The cops pretending to croon here are from Concord. Videos like this one have been going viral from police departments around the country in recent months. Concord was hoping to strike the right chord with the community, spending $34,000 hiring a production company to make this video, a move many are calling tone deaf.
That's a bit excessive.
It really upset me to see that video, that our tax dollars were being used that way.
I think that that money could have gone to other programs and things like that. $34,000 seems a little excessive for me.
How do you justify spending $34,000 on this video?
Absolutely. You know, we would actually spend, you know, twice that.
Captain Bill Roach fervently defends the expenditure. The money comes from asset forfeiture. It's drug money that's earmarked for equipment or community outreach. There's no denying the success of community engagement here. The video has more than 77,000 views on Facebook and nearly 500 comments that police are directly responding to. Bill says they specifically chose Bailando and worked with the immigrant community here that often feels disenfranchised. He invites critics to look at this
as if you were the disenfranchised person who is scared to come to the police department.
It's a time when police often feel disenfranchised too, which is why Bill says building trust is priceless.
The most important currency we have with our community is trust. And if we don't have that, we have nothing.
All right, so to put this into perspective for you, the department's budget annually is $60 million. And in the past, they've spent close to $100,000 on recruitment videos. So again, they stand by this decision. Veronica.
Yeah, but $34,000 is still a lot of money, which is why there is outrage tonight. Why not spend it on maybe hiring another officer or more training, as that woman in your piece was suggesting?
So that is the trick here. This money is coming from asset forfeiture, which means it's drug money and it's limited as to what they can spend it on. So they can't spend it on officer's salary. It has to go towards equipment or some kind of community engagement. And they're often criticized if they choose to buy something for themselves. So they can get criticized either way here. And they said that they thought the community engagement was more valuable.
All right, Susie Steimel, we appreciate that explanation tonight. Thank you. We're learning about another incident of possible domestic violence involving former 49er linebacker Reuben Foster.
Our Elizabeth Cook is here to show us that video. Liz.
Veronica and Alan, Santa Clara police have just released body camera video from October. They say they were called regarding a loud argument. Officers could hear yelling as they walked up to the door of an apartment on Carlisle Court. They then questioned Foster.
What's going on, sir?
No, just argument.
Nice. Can we talk to you? Is my partner talk to you? Is your wife, girlfriend?
Yeah,
okay, you mind if he goes make sure he's all right?
Hmm?
You mind if he goes in there make sure she's
no,
all right?
You can go in my house. You can come out here.
No. Have you stay out here for now.
Come on.
You want to talk to my partner over there?
Talk to him.
Hey, can you please go over and talk to my partner?
Reuben Foster was put in handcuffs while officers continued their interview with Alyssa Ennis. At the time, she claimed nothing physical happened, but photos now put out by police appear to show some injuries. You can see red marks or possible bruises on both sides of her face. Ennis now says Foster has attacked her three times this year. The most recent alleged incident was less than 2 weeks ago in Tampa. Foster is accused of hitting Ennis and knocking a phone out of her hand. Police went to the 49ers team hotel and arrested Reuben Foster. The Niners kicked him off the team the very next day, and he still faces a domestic violence charge. Late today, the 49ers put out a statement saying they were not aware of Foster's encounter with police back in October. Foster, meanwhile, signed with the Washington Redskins last week. The NFL is not, however, allowing him to play or practice for the time being. Alan?
All right, Liz, thanks. Well, it was a day-long nightmare for drivers. Earlier this week, gridlock caused by a jackknife big rig on the Bay Bridge lasted well into the evening commute. So if one accident can shut down the city's traffic, what happens in a real emergency? KPI X5's Emily Turner put that question to emergency planners. Emily?
Yeah, that's a big question because you and I can both remember Wednesday's frustration level. It was very high. But imagine adding to that a layer of panic and terror in the event of an evacuation or a major emergency. We wanted to ask these emergency officials, what then? Two bridges, two major roadways, and a ferry system. When it comes to getting into or out of San Francisco, that's it. So a day like this, Dr. Erwin Redliner of the Center for Disaster Preparedness says is a wake-up call.
Hard-nosed analysis and open, frank discussions with a lot of transparency about what actually happened will need to transpire now.
But we found that isn't happening. At least not yet. Neither SFPD nor the CHP answered us when we asked if they were doing a debrief on the accident. SFMTA says they will be bringing it up for discussion at their regional meeting on Monday. At City Hall, not a single official was available to talk on camera. But we did ask the Department of Emergency Services.
So this should be a wake-up call for you guys, is it?
Well, we're awake. This is something that we plan for and that we look at, every day.
The Department of Emergency Management will be testing what's called a priority route exercise next year. It mimics the fallout from Wednesday's transit breakdown and will emulate an emergency when debris or cars block one of the city's priority routes.
In the event that we have a closure of a major thoroughfare, we have a plan that we've exercised to figure out how do we quickly clear the roadway so first responder assets can come in and then we can respond effectively.
And actually, just before we went to air, I got a text message from SFMTA. They're not going to be tackling this at their meeting next week. They'll be tackling this at their MTC meeting in February. So there are a lot of promises, a lot of plans down the road for the city and emergency officials to work on this, to talk about this. But as of yet, nothing actually tangible has come from Wednesday's gridlock. Guys?
So, Emily, for the sake of argument, let's just say what happened the other day is sort of a minor hiccup. Worst case scenario, I'm thinking, is going to be much worse in terms of trying to get everybody out of the city.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's important to know two things. One is, because it's going to be such a nightmare, in most cases, with the exception of perhaps an earthquake or a tsunami, evacuations are not the tactic that the Emergency Operations Center is going to use. Instead, that is a shelter-in-place order. However, if by some stretch of the imagination, God forbid, we all had to get out of San Francisco, our expert estimates that it would take 3 days to have a non-chaotic evacuation, really of any major metropolitan area, because you have to move the more vulnerable populations all the way down to hospitals. And so that would take 3 days. So you can imagine just how improbable that is.
3 days. You better be ready to shelter in place for a while. Okay, Emily Turner, great information. Thank you. Well, Deanna, the weather hitting some sweet notes this weekend.
Yeah, good tune today. I'll tell you, it was mighty fine outside. But for those of you who had a very long honey-do list or you were in the office, Mother Nature is going to give you Saturday just as pleasant tomorrow. Take a look at the temperatures outside tonight. We're in the mid-50s. San Jose 55, Concord 54, Oakland 57. It will be a chilly start if you're out there early tomorrow morning in Vallejo or Napa, below 40 degrees. Santa Rosa, Fairfield, 3 degrees above freezing. Even San Jose dropping to 40 overnight tonight. Speaking of San Jose, downtown ice. It'll be Saturday and Sunday every weekend through Christmas and New Year's. Sun and clouds, 61 degrees, pleasant weather. Maybe Sonoma is more your thing. Good stuff in Sonoma. Mainly sunny tomorrow, high of 60. Some evening showers moving in. The daylight hours on Sunday will be dry in Sonoma, but we certainly will see an increase in cloud cover on Sunday with rain moving in Sunday night. Now, this particular front and this storm will not be that strong because the storm itself will stay up in Canada. So how can we get a front here when the storm's up in Canada? Well, those fronts can stretch hundreds and hundreds of miles. We actually have one front passing by to the north right now, but look at where the low is up in the Gulf of Alaska. That's what the next storm is going to do as well. So when that happens, when the front, our rain chance is separated that far from the storm itself, we get some showers, and that's about it. Last week, we got a direct hit from a low, and Los Angeles got that direct hit last night from a low, and you can see the difference. You can feel the difference as well. So we're not going to have that, perhaps until the end of next week. Saturday morning, we are completely clear. Saturday afternoon, mostly sunny skies, some high, thin cirrus clouds moving by. Change. Sunday morning, we go cloudy, but no rain. Sunday evening, those of you watching us in Willits or Point Arena or Ukiah will likely have a few showers, but the majority of the Bay Area is dry until Sunday night. Monday at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's when the rain will cross the Golden Gate. How much rain are we talking? Well, because it lacks the jet stream support and because the storm is so far away, the front's coming through and we all get less than 1/4 of 1 inch of rainfall, about 1/7 of an inch of rain predicted for San Francisco. So the sunnier and milder weekend day is tomorrow. Cloudier on Sunday, but we're dry during the daylight hours. Then we get some rain Sunday night, and that will likely lead to a slippery or slick Monday morning commute. A lot of 60s tomorrow, including San Jose's 62, Los Gatos 63, Mountain View 60, and close to 60 degrees in Pacifica and Half Moon Bay. Coolest spots will be in the East Bay. You're going to get a slow start because you're going to be cloudy, maybe even a little bit of fog tomorrow morning. 56 in Pittsburgh, 57 for Danville, 58 for Vallejo. 60 in San Francisco, 61 for Petaluma, Mill Valley, sunshine 57, Cloverdale 60, St. Helena 62 degrees. Sunday night, Monday morning, there's your rain chance. Then we dry out once again Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. A more significant rain chance is possible this time next week. That's your forecast.
Our news continues tonight at 10 on KBCW 44 Cable 12 and at 11 on KPIX 5.
And remember, select KPIX News on your Amazon Echo.
Pix Now News is sponsored by Chevron, proud to support STEM education in the Bay Area.
Meet our STEM standout, Luciano Del Rio.
Team 841 is Richmond High School's robotics team. What it is an after-school program that teaches Richmond High School students about STEM.
Luciano encourages us to really think outside the box to approach a problem.
Luciano's story is important because he comes from this community. The work that he does here goes beyond the classroom and the school.
Chevron and CBS 5 teaming up to support STEM education in the Bay Area.